And we're dealing with the third in a series. Three Sunday nights in a row, we have been dealing with the no mores. The no mores. We saw the no mores of religion. We saw the no mores of Christianity. And tonight, the no mores for all eternity. Now, I want to review, because we've got several folks here tonight that have not been with us. The no mores of religion are given in chapter 18 and verse 20 through the rest of the chapter. That's the no mores of religion. Chapter 17 and chapter 18 are the revelation of the coming collapse of a threefold system: the political system of the world, the economical system of the world, and the religious system of the world are all three given in chapter 17 and 18. It's revealed there in Revelation, chapter 17 and 18. Collapse politically, collapse religiously, and the collapse economically. And believe it or not, a lot of the economics was prosperous off of the religious system. That's how they made their money. Well, there's the no mores, and I'm just going to read it very quickly. The no mores. Verse 20, rejoice over her, thou heaven. Chapter 18, verse 20, holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea. The sea always represents, unless it is signified in context of a body of water. If it's a body of water, it indicates so. If it just says sea, it's humanity. It's a symbolic of humanity. Saying thus, with violence shall that great city Babylon, that's the system, be thrown down and shall be found. The system will be found no more. The system is over. The religious system. Now, Babylon is where the religious system revived after the flood. The Babylonian area of the Ur of the Chaldees, modern day Iraq, down in the southern tip there, is where Babylon religion revived after the flood. That's why it's called Babylon. It's a system. And it's going to come to an end. The voice of harpers, musicians, pipers, trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. We went back, and I'm not going to take the time to do it. You can do it in your own time. Just right there alongside of that, all began in the end of the genealogies of Cain, Genesis chapter 4. The musicians began in Genesis chapter 4. Then you have the craftsmen. All at all, no craftsmen at all. Craft industry began with the descendants of Cain in Genesis chapter 4. And so forth and on down through. You can trace back all this activity to the genealogy of Cain, the father of religion, in Genesis chapter 4. And it says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Again, it's referred to as Babylon because that's where the Cainite system of religion rebirthed or revived or came back to life. Down in the Mesopotamia Valley after the flood is where it began. We're going to be looking at that in depth this coming Wednesday night. So no more. No more. Cain's system and all that's involved in it. Musicians and music played a strong part in false worship. And if I'll call to your mind tonight, when Nebuchadnezzar became the world leader in Daniel chapter 2, and he built a great image of 90 feet tall of himself. He called for the musicians and all, and it says, all kinds of music. And the command was, when you hear the music, you fall down and worship the image. Music in false worship. That's just one example of hundreds I could give you. No more. It's over. It is over. The system's over. And all of the craftsmen, the industry, everything that had its flourishing from Cain's system has come to an end. It's over. And God avenged it. Then when you come to chapter 21, you find the no mores of Christianity. There's four of them. Probably next Sunday night we'll come back to verse 1 and 2 because we're going to look at home. We're going to look at home next week. Next Sunday night, we're dealing with the entrance into eternity in three parts with the no mores. Next week we're going to look at our home. And so we'll probably deal with more of chapter 21 verse 1 and 2 next Sunday night. Verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, when Jesus came, they called him Emmanuel, but nobody believed it. There's still the majority of the world today does not believe it. You have to have Christ if you want God with you. Can I have an amen? Amen. A little louder.
Amen.
You have to have Christ if you want God with you. Because his name was Emmanuel, God with you. You can't separate them. Well, this is going to be the reality of it for all eternity. Then in verse 4, as a tender mother or a tender father treating their child after the child has went through a traumatic experience in verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And we saw last Sunday night David as an example. And David asked God to put his tears in a bottle and said, are they not in thy book? God has a book that records the mistreatment of his people. And they'll be reckoned with one day at the reckoning. Then he gives us four no mores. There shall be no more death. This is for the Christian. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then you go on down and prepare to enter into your new home for eternity. People have their concepts, people have their speculations and their opinions. There's actually preachers that go to pulpits, never carry a Bible. They don't use a Bible. People are not encouraged to follow with their Bible. And a lot of it is speculative. A lot of it is opinionated. A lot of it is baseless, based upon nothing. We here at First Baptist Church believe in the Bible. And we stand upon it as the final authority in everything. Amen. It is the final authority. It doesn't matter what man says. It's what God says is the ultimate end. Now last Sunday night we saw where death and sorrow and crying and pain can come from several different sources. Death has claimed... this virus has claimed over 90,000 people in America, this virus. And I spoke this morning of the young nurse in her 40s she may have been a doctor, I don't remember, that worked in Columbus Hospital. She died. The virus killed her. And death can come. I've got a nephew and his wife. I mentioned her on the broadcast way back in March when we were streaming live and we were not in the building. Her name is Liza. And she had colon cancer. They removed a big cyst off of the end of her colon. And now she has stage 4 cancer. It's serious. They got her out of Marietta, and they took her to the James Center in Columbus. And we're waiting to see what's going to happen. Cancer takes a lot of people. Diseases takes a lot of people. The people that we've lost in this church right here, in the 8 years I've been here, is just phenomenal. Disease, sickness, and so forth. But death does not have to come by diseases. Death comes of various different ways. A drunk man on the highway driving a vehicle has got the... He's armed. He's armed. And I could go on into those scenarios. It's not my point tonight. But death. But the first death came from a religious man. And that's my emphasis tonight. The first death, the first human death, was caused by a religious man whom God would not accept. The book of Genesis means beginnings. And all the way from Genesis 1 to Genesis 50 is all about beginnings. Anything that ever began, you'll find it in the book of Genesis. And you find a lot that had its beginnings just in the first 3 or 4 or 5 chapters. But the first murder, the first death, and it was a righteous man that was slain, Abel. And his faith is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11. Cain killed him. Not only that, he was his brother, biologically. Killed him. He killed him. And that's what we're going to zero in tonight on, how religion has treated true Christianity down through the ages. Even though death, sorrow, crying, and pain can be inflicted many, many, many different ways throughout life. I will say tonight, as a preacher of the gospel for nearly 42 years, a lot of my pain, and it's not like a toothache or arthritis ache, it's pain in your emotional system, inflicted by the brethren. The brethren. And sorrow, pain inflicted. It can come various different ways. But we're going to zero in tonight on the religious. Now, I want to look at a couple verses before I give you the backdrop of those four no mores. There is something that led up to that. The most horrible event in the entire eternal program of God. If you would turn back with me, first of all, to John chapter 16. And then we'll look at a passage in Matthew. John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, John is recording Jesus here, and Jesus is attempting to prepare his followers for when he leaves. And the Holy Spirit comes. And he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. For they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. Now, I want to tell you, my friend, anybody that takes the life of another human being and says that's God's work is either insane or totally demonic. And I don't have to go and wander very far to quote some people in recent months that have killed people in God's name, in their God's name. And they think they do God's service by killing. By killing. They're either demonic, they're deeply deceived. And either demonic or some type of total isolation from any kind of sanity. Totally insane. And people that will kill themselves to kill a dozen others. Death. Listen. Jesus said it. They'll think they're doing God service when they kill you. That's ugly. That's ugly. That's religion, my friend. Now, flip back with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, to the closing remarks that Jesus gave on his first lesson called the Mount of Beatitudes, which is in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It was his first public teaching. And the multitudes came and he taught them. And there's pairs here. There's the two ways. There's the two foundations. The two ways. He's summarizing and bringing his teaching in the three chapters to a summary. And the two ways are given in verse 13 and 14. The two witnesses, the true and the false, are given in verses 15 through 20. And the two foundations are given in verse 24 through 28. You have the two ways, the two witnesses, and the two foundations. And there's false in the two ways, there's false in the two witnesses, and there's false in the two foundations. And there's the true way, and there's the true witness, and there's the true foundation. Pairs. A, there's either true Christianity or false Christianity, and there's nothing in between. There's nothing in between. It's either right or it's wrong. And either we have Christ or we don't have. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I write unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now, in the midst of those three pairs, he gives a future view of the day that we're going to look at in just a moment. Verse 21 of chapter 7. This is a future view of the day that we're going to look at. Not everyone. Notice the word saith. You remember when I taught a while back on 1 John between he that saith, he that saith, he that saith. John went over that over and over and over in 1 John. He that saith. It's not what a person says. It's what a person does. Action speaks louder than words. It's very difficult to pastor today. It was becoming difficult to pastor before we went into this in what's been termed as invisible enemy. It's hard to pastor when your flock is scattered. And it's easy to get out of church and very difficult to get back in. Only the serious will be back in. The ones that was not real serious will continue to stay home, and once in a while will tune in and listen to a message now and then. Their church will be beside a cup of coffee in their recliner. And it's hard to pastor. It's hard to do the Lord's work. You marry, you bury, and that's about it. You get to feed. But as far as pastoring, it's very difficult. But I've always been cautious of talk. I don't so much measure anything on talk. I measure it on action. And as a pastor, what I look for is change. If the Word of God is not changing people, and it's a slow, I hate to use the word evolve, but you know, it evolves as we don't get more of the Lord. We got all of Him the day we got saved, but as we move forward in our Christian life, He gets more of us. We surrender more to Him, and we give into Him more and more, and our will is less dominant, and His will is more controlling in our lives. That's a progress, but if you don't see your sheep, you can't observe, you can't watch. That's a pastor's job. He watches for the souls of them that God entrusted to him. And pastoring was becoming very difficult before the shutdown, and it's going to become extremely difficult now. But not everyone that saith, words is words. It doesn't cost anything to speak. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is his will? He said, to believe. To believe. To have faith. That's the will of my Father, to have faith. Cain had no faith. No faith. Many. Notice that word in verse 22. Many. He doesn't name any certain kind of religion. He just puts them all in one ballpark. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart. When the message has been all the way from Adam, come. Even under the law, come. Come. No man seeks God, God seeks man. And the message has always been, come. For the first time in the program of God, God's going to tell man, get away from me. Depart. I don't know who you are. Notice what it says. Notice what they say. They say, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy always in thy name done many wonderful works. And notice what he calls it. He calls it the work iniquity. God calls their work iniquity. And they say it's great. It's great. It's wonderful. And all these people that's in this arena that are duped and deceived are going to wake up one day and realize, oh my. And when they find out where they are, they're going to, for the first time, realize we've been duped. We've been duped. And it doesn't make any difference the name. It doesn't make any difference the region geographically. Religion is religion. Religion is anything outside the basis of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, receiving Him as total, absolute, total. His work is total satisfaction to satisfy the holy law of God on our behalf. And when we accept Him into our hearts by faith and say, Lord, apply to me what you did for me 2,000 years ago. I want your forgiveness. Give me new life. Forgive me. Save me and take me to heaven when I die. I simply trust you. I trust nothing else but you. You know how many people are willing to do that? They are in a small minority. Because man's intuition is always to include himself. I've often said, we are not the participants in salvation, we're the recipients. Not the participants, the recipients only. And there it is. There it is. So we've got one passage where, to the extreme of death, Herod, for no reason, absolutely no reason at all, killed James in Acts chapter 12. He just killed him and was going to kill Peter. That's political. But he did it because it pleased the Jews, who persecuted the early church, who brought great sorrow and pain and crying upon the early church. Religion did that, and they thought they were doing God's service. And someday they're going to stand and argue. And now we'll go back to that horrific event in Revelation. The most, I call this the most horrible day in God's program. And there's been some great, terrific days in God's program. This is the most horrible. Now God wipes away tears in verse 4, then calls upon the four no mores, death, sorrow, crying, and pain, inflicted by many ways in life and society, but most certainly by religious circles. Now, as you come to Revelation 20, this precedes the no mores. God can actually say there'll be no mores because the ones that caused much of this don't exist anymore. Now we find the no mores of the people. Revelation 20, and we studied this throne when we studied the thrones months ago, if not over a year ago. In Revelation 20, 10, Satan's gone. He's gone. He's finally in his place in the lake of fire. It says the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. No more devil. In verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. White is a symbol of purity. There will be no injustice on this court. And him that sat on it, from whom the face of the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small, that means insignificant, and great, that means the great kings and presidents, all people of authority, the pomp and stance, stand before God. You see, position makes no difference. Popularity, wealth, position, power, all that man has been able to contribute to himself throughout the centuries and the millenniums of time won't amount to anything in this day. They're all in the same boat. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. which is, I'm sorry, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according, there it is, according to their works. People are going to be judged at this judgment according to what they have done. I've often illustrated this. This is not the first time that I have taught on this. Over on this side, you have books. And these books are records. Did not David said they are in thy book? Put my tears in your bottle. Aren't they not in thy book? God's keeping records, my friend. And the books are there according to their works. Then there is a book. A book. And this book is called the Book of Life. And the judgment for these people, they're called the dead. The dead are judged out of these books because God has kept perfect records of what they've done. The record of Cain beginning and all the way down through. The record of Nimrod, the great hunter, the great builder, the great confusion. On and on and on. The Hitlers, the mousy tongues, the czars of Russia, the Hitlers and the Lenins, and the communist dictators that rule ruthlessly today. God's recording it all. Bert often asked prayer for the persecuted church. There's a reckoning day. There's a reckoning day. And a lot of that persecution comes from religion. And the books are open. And there's going to be arguing because he's going to open the books and they're going to say to him, we read about it. Did we not do this and do this and did we not do that? And we did all this in your name, did we not? And he's going to say, depart from me. Depart from me. I don't know who you are. We saw the no mores of their activity. Now we see the no mores of them that energized it. And that's why there's no mores for us. Because there's no more anyone to inflict it. No more. And just, we could go into many scenarios of things that brings death and sorrow, crying and pain. Many things bring that. But I would dare say tonight, without doubt, that religion has probably played the most largest part of inflicting death, sorrow, pain, and crying, the four no mores, upon true Christianity than any other single element of human life. It's been this crazy religious world. So they are going to be judged according to their works that are in the books. David said, Are they not in your book? The sea, that's not the water, that's humanity. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now you notice in verse 12, I saw the dead. That's the physical dead. But when they are cast into the lake of fire, this is eternal, my friend. This is the second death. And this death is to be separated from God throughout all eternity. And whosoever, notice how close that comes to another word in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that there's the word. There's the word. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. No man enters into eternity, into the home that we will look at next Sunday night, based on their works. That's very clear. They will enter into chapter 21 and into eternity and into the eternal home if their name is in the book of life, not in the book of works. Religion builds works. Christ builds faith. And his church is based on faith in Christ and Christ alone. And here is the no more of the people who have been duped, who have been deceived, who actually took human life and thought they were doing God's service, have been going through the routines of whatever the ceremonial service that they may be conducting, thinking they're doing God's service, to hear one day from Jesus himself upon the throne, "Depart from me, I don't know you." And they'll argue, "Did we not do this and do that?" And he's going to say, "Depart from me, your name is not in my book." That's going to be the determining factor of who enters into eternity with God forever and ever, and who is cast into the lake of fire to there be forever and ever and ever. And it's called the second death, because to be separated from God is eternal, and it's called the second death. And there is the no more of the people of religion. The no more of the people. And we won't have to worry about tears anymore. And we won't have to worry about death and pain and sorrow, crying. Think of it, friend. Their death, their sorrow, their pain, their crying has just begun. And there's no end. Ours will have an end. Theirs will have a beginning and will have no end. Remember the rich man in the parable? They call it a parable. Some call it a parable. Some say it's not a parable. I don't. Of the rich man and Lazarus. Parables normally don't use first name identities. Parables normally don't use first name. And it's used by Lazarus. The rich man, just known as his wealth, not his name. Known by his possessions, not by his name. But it uses Lazarus. But the man was not in hell. And that's not even the lake of fire yet. That's just a temporary holding place until this day. And the first thing he cried for was just a drop of water to put on his tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. get down on your knees tonight and thank God before you put your head on the pillow. I may have went through pain and sorrow, and I may have experienced the loss of loved ones and death, and may go through it myself, and may have to go through a lot of pain and sorrow, crying, but there's coming a day when there'll be no more. No more. The sad part is, for those that often afflicted upon us, it'll be their beginning. Their beginning. Of what they inflicted upon us. The no mores of their activity is given at the conclusion of chapter 18. The no mores of Christianity are given in chapter 21 as we enter into eternity. And the no mores of the people that often inflict it, that think they do God's service, and they think that they're doing great things. How could anyone in a right mind think, if I kill somebody, I'm serving God? How could anyone in their right mind come up with that type of conclusion? It's demonic. It's demonic. Well, they're going down in where Satan is. And boy, if we had the time, we'd look back at Isaiah. Are they ever going to be disappointed? They're going to see this creature hanging over on the side of the flaming pit. And they're going to look upon him narrowly. And they're going to say, is that the man? Him? Him? That made the earth a wilderness that caused the nations to tremble? Is that him? I'm here because of him? That's what you're going to say. Isaiah prophesied it. The no mores of their activity. As the political, economical, and religious system fall in Revelation 17 and 18. The no mores of Christianity as we enter eternity. And we just begin a life free of pain, sorrow, crying, death. It's gone, no more. And in the middle are the people that often inflict it. And as we enter eternity without these activities, they enter eternity just beginning. And there'll be no end for their pain, sorrow. Death will continue to be separated from God. Your spiritual death. No hope. No hope. It's a somber act. It's a somber activity. It's one of the horrible activities in God's program. And God said, I'm not willing that any perish. I don't want anybody to perish. That's why I went to the cross. Convince people of that today. Convince people of that today. Satan has blinded the minds, lest the glorious gospel of the light should shine in. My friend, if you're there tonight listening and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you tonight to bow your head and simply say, Lord Jesus, I understand you died for me and my sins. Please come into my heart, forgive me, save me, and take me to heaven when I die. It's that simple, my friend. Oh yeah, it's already been provided. All you have to do is ask him. And he said, he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. And the invitation today is to come unto him. And if you've never been saved, you're not sure if you're saved, confirm it tonight in your heart. God will change you. You have a different outlook in life. We are going to conclude our streaming live at this time. And thank you for allowing us to be with you on this Sunday evening, a most solemn event that's coming in the future. Make sure you'll be in the eternity of chapter 21 and not the conclusion of chapter 20. Just make sure, my friend. So at this time, we'll discontinue. But I want to say, I will be posting. I'm saying this. I will be posting somewhere out there in the air about my plans for this Wednesday evening. I'll be letting people know of exactly what I'm going to do. But many people have contacted us about a Wednesday night Bible study. So we're working on it. And we'll let you know this before Wednesday. We'll let you know by a post. I grew up with fence post. This is a different kind of post. Thank you for connecting with us tonight. God bless you. Stay safe, my friend. And we'll disconnect at this time. Thank you for being out tonight on this traditional Memorial Day weekend. I never dreamed in my wildest imagination that we would ever be going to this type of ministry. But this is the new norm. This is going to be the new norm. We'll never see full churches again. If we can even see half full churches, it will be a miracle. But this is going to be the new norm. This is how we're going to reach people through this system. And God can take it and use it. We're still up tremendously in April. And I don't say this to flap wings or brag. I just say God is using it. We also have the website where all of our messages, including Frosty's Sunday School lesson, is put on there. And we didn't put anything on for 2 months. We didn't put anything new on. And we broke record in April of visits to the website. 8,200 and some visits to the website in April when we were not putting anything new on. Just absolutely remarkable. And this Facebook system is catching hold. There's a lot of people on there. Some days when I don't have a lot to do and I want to keep my mind active, an idle mind is the devil's territory. And so I have a hard time reading anymore. My mind wants to wander. When you read and it's over in Romania and Moldova. But anyway, I go on there and I kind of stroll down through and I see there's a lot of different people on there that are speaking live. I have no idea who they are or anything about that, but people are going to it. And our, if I understand it right from what I am being told, this people connecting with us is increasing as the time goes on and people are learning about it. So we thank God for that. Now, Frosty said when he come up here, I told you that I'll be with Rachel tomorrow and she's going to show me what to do.